Welcome to Showing Up Solo, your go-to source for solopreneur success in the digital world. You're not just running a business, you're wearing all the hats, from CEO to content creator. What if I told you there's a way to master online marketing without sacrificing all your time? Hello, everyone, and welcome back for another episode of Showing Up Solo. Today, I'm thrilled to be joined by Amanda Hutchinson of AKP Brand Stories. She is a branding photographer based, I think, in London. Am I right?
Most of my shoots are in London, but I have just recently moved house. So I'm now more Midlands based.
Well, Amanda, thank you so much for joining us. I would love to get started by you just letting our listeners know a little bit more about you and what you do.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm a brand photographer. The business is 9 years old this year, which feels a little bit crazy. Figured it out the other day. 9 years, wow. But I started in the wedding industry. So I was a wedding photographer, and I very quickly started taking photos of wedding suppliers at the weddings, kind of doing behind the scenes and sending it to them, and realizing that suppliers weren't getting those images from anybody else, and they weren't really getting any photos of them as the face of their business. They were showcasing their amazing flowers and cakes and the weddings, but not who they were. And as much as I loved weddings, and I've actually now closed that part of the business down, I enjoyed telling the stories of the brands much more, and those shoots were much more creative. But it all started from a creative outlet from my corporate job, which was crisis management and disaster management. So,
gosh, okay. So I want to dive into that in a second. The thing that you told me about sending the photos to the vendors, was that just something you just decided to do, like, as a networking thing, or was it just like, what was it like, what inspired you to do that? Because it was such a great idea.
I don't know. I just thought, well, the florist is there doing the final details. And I can't take photos of the flowers until they're finished. So rather than standing around, I may as well take photos of the florist just putting together the final bits of the table. And then I was like, well, the couple don't want those photos, but it might be nice for the florist to have some pictures of what they're up to, and maybe they'll kind of be able to then share it with this on their socials. And it just seemed like a no-brainer thing to do, and it then surprised me that it wasn't being done really by other suppliers, like by other photographers, because they were just focusing on the wedding. And I guess because I always shot weddings as two, it was me and my husband, the wedding was still being covered. So yeah. I was waiting for the room to be ready to be shot. So yeah, it felt like a no-brainer thing to do.
But it's what a great way to generate your own business. Did you give them away for free, or did you be like,
I emailed them and said, it would be like, if you can use them, please just tag me, like credit me as the photographer. And then when I decided actually I wanted to start doing brand shoots, I already kind of had a network of suppliers who were like, actually, yeah, we would quite like photos where we've maybe actually made an effort in how we look, and we're not just behind the scenes hot and sweaty because we've been lugging wedding equipment around. We want to look a little bit more polished. And so it seemed like the natural step for them to come to me, because I'd already been giving them some content.
Wow. That's just great marketing right there for you. I hope everyone was listening to how you did that, because that's just a great example of organic marketing offline, kind of building a network before you start to actually sell specific services. Now I'm going to come back. You said that your previous corporate business life was in crisis management.
So my job was initially with local government to help prepare the borough and the residents and the council for emergencies, and then respond to things as they happened. So I did that straight out of uni. So I did disaster management as my master's, went straight into a really busy London borough. And within, well, I started the week, there was a big child protection case. And I left 6 months after Tottenham riots, which was a huge set of riots in London. And I was on call 1 week on, 1 week off for that. And then from there, I was just like, I'm exhausted. I have to give up so much of my personal life. So I went into the private sector, where I then worked with huge global companies, usually with like an operational risk. So things like factories and, you know, retailers and stuff like that, to go, right, what's the absolute worst thing that can happen in your business? Let's put a plan in place. Let's train your staff on how to deal with it, so that if it then happens, you know what you're doing. And then I'd come up with a scenario, then I'd test them on it. So I'd be putting together scenarios for counterterrorism incidents or fires or anything, whatever came up on their risk register. So it was a really doom and gloom job. Like every day it was like, what's the worst that could happen? Right, let's plan for it. So wedding photography and then the brand photography became this like just happy sunshine and rainbows area that just counteracted the doom and gloom. But
yeah, you're like 9 to 5 is focusing on all the worst case scenarios, and then your weekend's focusing on the happy occasions.
Yeah, but it also, but it actually, like, it helped a lot in my business, because I was doing a lot on reputational risk. And so how do you protect your business if something goes wrong? How do you put your, you know, how does the CEO present himself or herself? I mean, let's face it, for most of these big companies, it is a himself, present themselves to the world when something has gone wrong. And a lot of that is transferable into online businesses and entrepreneurs, because they've got, these CEOs are just as nervous being in front of the camera, and they don't know what to say when they're in front of the camera, or they don't know how to respond. They don't know how to stand. They don't know how to act. And it's exactly the same as having a shoot. And so I realized, it was like, well, if I can take a global CEO and make them feel comfortable, then I can do exactly the same thing to any other business owner. And it's all about planning. So you plan what you want your message to be, what you want your photo, and therefore what you need your photos to be. Same with all of your marketing. Like, you don't just open up Instagram and go, oh, I'm going to post something today. Like, it's a lot harder to do that. Whereas if you go, right, what am I selling? What am I launching? Who am I targeting? Let's work that back. Okay, so that means I've got to have these posts. So in order to have these posts, I need to have these sorts of images. Well, that's what I'm doing with my clients. I'm going, right, what's your 6-9 month plan? Okay, let's figure out then the sorts of photos. So I was able to bring an awful lot of my kind of corporate work into brand shoots.
I love that. I love that unexpected connection between the two. But I know from I know from your work and everything that planning is a huge part of your process. And fans of the show will know I'm all about batching your content, like doing as much as you can ahead of time. We usually film our episodes well in advance and sit down, like batch produce a bunch of Reels content. And I like to get updated brand photography every 6 months or so. And I've learned a lot through the process of getting brand photos. My first few were a lot of me smiling on a couch and holding a cup of tea and, you know, like just but very generic. And then to my most recent ones where I'm like biting my phone and cursing the sky, because those are a lot of the emotions I need to project in my content. I'd love to know like some of the things that have come up for you that either surprise your clients for photos to get, or things that you notice are really needed but overlooked in a brand shoot.
I think you've hit the nail on the head with the non-smiling photos. And I have, you know, come across the same thing myself. Like, all of my brand photos are me smiling and laughing. And then I was, you know, I had a post go out and I was like, this is a serious topic, and I don't actually have any non-laughing photos. And so it is something that I'm talking to a lot of my clients about. It's like, what are the emotions that you need to be conveying? Like, if your secondary messaging is something that's really kind of like, you know, quite a serious subject, like if you're talking about integrity in an industry, or, you know, you know, I've had a client, her secondary messaging was child loss. I'm like, then you need to have some more serious images. But also the other thing, I think a lot of clients can fall into the trap of just looking on Pinterest. You put brand photography into Pinterest and it's very much the sitting on a couch drinking tea, sat at your laptop in a cafe. Yeah. And it's about thinking about what are your likes and your hobbies and what do you get up to and kind of bring that in. So, you know, people will bring their pets in or they'll bring their children in. I've had very, very corporate businesses who she's also an artist on the side. So I was like, well, let's get you painting and covered in paint. And yeah, the kind of how that then is such a contrast to the work she does, but it's building that know, like, and trust. So that's what I really need to get my clients to think about, is who are you and how do you want to be portrayed? It's not about showing what you think people want to see, i.e. the Pinterest images. It's about getting,
and I think it's also a lot about it's also not even about who you are, but who your audience needs you to represent, like basically representing your audience. Because that's the one I found, like, again, like the smiley pictures only go so far, but most of my clients aren't happy and smiling when it comes to their marketing. They need help.
And
they're frustrated. And so having those emotions portrayed, showing that it's like, they're, you know, these are things that you experience. I think that, like, getting really into the mindset, is that a part of your planning process, figuring out ideal client and everything, or?
I ask questions in my, like, brand questionnaire about their ideal client. I don't dig into it to try and get them to figure it out, but I do say, like, if somebody came to me and was like, I'm a brand new business, I need some photos, but I haven't got any branding and I don't know what I'm doing, I'd send them away and say, don't have a shoot until you've got that sorted. There is absolutely no point in you having a brand shoot if you don't know what your brand messaging, your values, and who you are serving, because all you'll end up with is, yes, some very pretty photos, but they'll be very vanilla and they won't work for very long. And a brand shoot has to have that longevity. Even if you're renewing photos every 6 months, you're probably still dipping into older photos. And so you want those photos to be able to work really hard for you and, you know, not just last a month.
Yeah, no, 100%. That's, I still dip into older ones. One thing I would say is for anyone who's just like, pick a brand photographer and stick with them. I have someone who I work with, who's located where I am. My last couple shots I've had have been with another photographer in Calgary, where my co-host, or my past co-host Nicole lives. And they're both amazing photographers, but they have very different editing styles. So I see quite a difference in the images. Like, they're both brilliant, but I would, like, those were situations where I had to have photos taken in a different, like, province to where I'm located. But otherwise I would always try to stick with the same photographer, because then you can, like, mix and match, especially if your haircut doesn't change too dramatically. You can, like, use ones from, like, three shoots ago alongside ones from now, versus if you have a photographer with very different editing styles and moods, then they, you can kind of feel the difference when you're looking at them.
Yeah, it's interesting, because my last two brand shoots have been with the same photographer, and she has moved to Austin, Texas, which is quite a long way to go for a brand shoot. So I was like, oh, what am I going to do? Well, she's coming back this summer, so I'm having a mini shoot with her, like a 2-hour shoot. But in the meantime, I need some photos with Paula, who works alongside me. She does my reels for me and my Pinterest and my Dubsado. In fact, she's like a right-hand woman to me. Like, I'd be lost without her, but we need some photos together. So I am actually going to another photographer, but I spent so long trying to find photographers that had the same editing style or as close as possible to Bri, because I was like, I want it to be seamless. Yeah. So yeah, if you like a particular editing style and it goes with your branding and you've had lots of photos with them, then, you know, it can be really difficult to find someone if they suddenly move across the ocean and leave you.
Yeah. So if possible, find that person and stick with them if you can, yeah. if it's possible. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Hi folks, this is Rachel jumping in. As many of you know, I manage and share this podcast for Hannah. I've been doing so since the beginning. But what you may not know is that I have my own podcast. It's all about how to get started with your podcast journey, packed full of helpful advice and tips. It's called Podcasting 101 with Rachel. If you'd like to get clarity on your podcast idea, then you can grab my free podcast playbook. I'll put a link in the show notes, but you can head on over to my website, www.rb-va.com, and you can find all the information there. And now back to Hannah.
So why do you think, I know why I think brand photography is important, but why do you think it's important for business to get brand photography? Like, why can't we just use stock images all the time or phone selfies?
So the main, stock photos and phone selfies still work, but they have a place. Mm-hmm. So stock photos are great for kind of filler images. Selfies are great for your social media, but you're not going to put them on your website. You're not going to send them to press. They're not going to be the ones that you use for speaker engagements or podcast interviews or if you're writing a book. And so brand imagery is to create those photos that give you a professional look. And you can't, I believe anyway, you can't expect people to invest in your service if you are not investing in how you come across in business. Yeah. Like if you look at some of the big brands like, you know, Adidas and people like that, if they were sticking photos out there that had just been taken on their phone, and it was all selfies and it was stock images of just of trainers, and there was no professionalism behind that aesthetic, you wouldn't spend with them, you wouldn't take them seriously as a brand. And so it's no different to you as an entrepreneur or a solo business owner to be doing the same. But that's not to say that you have to be spending thousands and thousands when you first start out. Like lots of photographers do mini shoots. Like I do 30-minute mini shoots across a whole day, which means if somebody is just getting into their business or they just need a little top up, then it's a much more affordable way to do it. So you don't have to go and invest in a full day shoot straight off. You know, there are ways around it.
When I first started out, I the photographer I used actually, we did a little work exchange. Like I did some, that was back when I was a VA, and I did some VA hours for her in exchange for the photos. I just got some to get me started, you know, something to put on my website, something to put on my profile pictures, that kind of thing. Yeah. And then the other thing I did, because I noticed, I'm a big Canva user, and of course Canva stock images come from, I think it's Upsplash. People were using, I was seeing the exact same stock images being used over and over again. Also, there's a lack of diversity on there. I had such a headache trying to find free stock images for a client once. She works with she's an undieting coach, so she helps deprogram diet culture for mums. And to find, first of all, round figured mums in stock images, and then to find non-white round figured moms that look happy and not depressed was like, it was impossible. I spent way too long trying to find stuff, and I didn't even have that much luck.
It's really, really frustrating, isn't it? I'm actually doing a shoot in a couple of weeks where I've hired out a studio, and I'm hiring hand models because I want to create stock imagery for people that are launching. So you know, they're holding tablets and phones and stuff like that. I was like, but I am not going to be that person who's contributing to the problem. So I was like, if I'm going to put images with hands in, then that same photo needs to have been taken with different hands. So I put a model call out this week to be like, who's available to give me their hands for 30 minutes so that I can create these images? I was like, I'll pay you, you'll get images, I'll do a mini brand shoot. So, but I need to have some diversity, because otherwise I'm just going to be doing stock imagery that doesn't have any skin in at all, because I'm not contributing to the problem.
Yeah, I love that. I think that is really, and it's so important too, because it is a problem that And it's something that I didn't think of it at first until my sister sent me a message when I was early in the days of my Instagram. She's like, your Instagram feed is very white. And I was, in my head, I was just like trying to find people who closely, like, I didn't want to feature people unless they like closely resembled me, because I didn't want it to feel like it was too, like, I don't know. I was trying to find that. And then when she pointed that out to me, I like changed that up, and I made a point of being more diverse in the people that I represented in my stock images. And now I try as much as possible to just use images of myself promoting the brand, so that it's like there's no confusion, like, about
the reason why. Then if it's a very white looking feed, it's because it's your face, and you are a white woman, like,
exactly. And to that being said as well, like, I'm not a size 6 supermodel. I am a round figured 30 something mom, so I like to show up as that body, because, like I said, that's a problem. There's not a lot of me available in stock imagery. So I like to show up as myself as much as possible in my content, not just for representing my brand, but for other women like me who look like me, who want to feel like it's okay for them to be online. So that's another reason. Plus, I mean, it's like, I don't put makeup on every day. I put makeup on for recording this, but honestly, most of the days my hair is in a pony. I'm wearing a dirty t-shirt because my kids have spilled food on it. And I've, you know, probably got a scab from a pimple I've been picking. But if I have a stock, a supply of brand photographies, I've always got something where I feel like I look good that I can post. And it doesn't, then whatever I'm feeling about the way I look that day does not block me marketing my business.
Yeah. And also, so it was a post that went on my grid recently about, like, I hadn't been showing up and being visible. There was a lot going on at home. We were moving house. It was far more stressful than it should have been. There was just, you know, mental health, like, just wasn't there, and I wasn't wanting to show up. But I had photos of me, so I could still keep being on social media, but actually not having to come onto stories and talk, because I could just put a photo of me. So that was almost like a little bit of self-care, because I was like, I can still show up for my business and be seen as being there without actually having to show up in my business and be there, because I had the photos to be able to do it. And, you know, I'm probably one of the least visible brand photographers, because I really have a love-hate relationship with social media. I'm that person who'll go onto stories and be like, hey, I've got a great shoot today, I'm going to take you behind the scenes, and then I get to the end of the day and go, oh, I didn't take you behind my scenes, I'm sorry, I have forgotten, because it's just not natural for me to show you everything I do in my life. And so having photos, and one of my shoots was pictures of me actually on a shoot, so that I could show people, well, look, this is what happens on a shoot, even if it's that I'm looking a lot more polished than I would if I was shooting in the middle of summer.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I know that it stopped me once or twice. I get an idea to shoot a story and I want to do it while I'm walking the dog, and I'm like, oh God, I don't know what I look like, you know? And I don't like to use filters. I don't know about you, I don't like promoting that.
Yeah.
You know, there's some filters that really can...
The terrifying filters.
Yeah.
Like face altering, make you look like an alien filter. I do occasionally put a filter on purely from a lighting perspective. Like, if the lighting looks awful, then there's a filter that I use that just kind of evens some of that out a little bit. Just or if I've had an awful night with my toddler and I just look tired, I think, do you know what, sometimes I can't be bothered to do my eyebrows, but this makes me look a little
Yeah, I will do that. I will do, like, just, I have one or two, like, clear skin ones if I'm particularly blotchy that day. But I actually end up taking way too much time with it, because I don't always use any that alter my appearance too much. I did give up a while ago. I did this, they had this, like, you know, the music video for Take On Me, you know, that kind of pencil sketch that they have like that. And I put it up and I'm like, hey guys, couldn't be bothered to put makeup on, but I look like Rudolph right now. Getting this filter today.
But that, at least, people, like,
that's just then fun, and it's obvious that there's an edit to it. It's the filters that just, I don't know, I've tried them on my face and they never, like, I just don't look human. But then I see other people using them and I think, well, you do look like a human being. But I put it on my face and all of a sudden I've got, like, everything's been, like, stretched out, and I have these big eyes and these puffy lips and, like, no lines on my head. And I'm like, wow, I look like I've been made into a waxwork.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Okay. So before, because I think we could go on about filters forever, but I would, like, before we round everything up, I also want to talk about how getting brown, like, we talked about why you should get brown photography, there's lots of reasons, but how can it really, like, help entrepreneurs with their marketing by, like, helping them with their content creation? Do you have any insights or advice around that?
Yeah, so go back to, what is it that you are launching and what is it that you are putting out there as services? So if you suddenly decide, I'm going to start a podcast, okay, so imagery, then you need your podcast cover, you need your, like, host bio, you need your episode covers, you need photos for social media, reels, and the kind of web page that you're going to put it all on. So that in itself then is probably, you know, good 30 minutes worth of shoot time to create all of that. But it means then that, you know, if you know what your episodes are going to be and they're going to, you know, you're doing Canva graphics, then you can just drop those photos in. And I've learned recently the bulk create function on Canva, which was a game changer. So
what's this one? This sounds new to me.
Oh, so there's an app within Canva that you can then upload a CSV file and link the field. So I've been creating these testimonial squares. So I have my testimonial graphic, and then I'll go, right, I'll link the box that goes client name and then the box that says my actual testimonial. It's a CSV file of all of my, and then image as well. So it'll draw my, I can then put the images into the table, and then I click create, and it then creates all of those.
Wow.
I know.
Why didn't I know about this?
I saw it on a reel and I was like, oh my God, this is insane. So I tried it and created, like, because I already have a spreadsheet that's got my testimonials in, because I have a form that goes to my clients, and then I just put it into a spreadsheet so that if I need any copy or anything, it's all in one place. And I thought, well, I'll just upload it. And then it created 30 testimonial squares. Well, I do one of those a week. That's 30 weeks worth of content that I created with the button.
That is insane. Yeah.
Yeah. So the way that photography can then help your marketing is, if you know what you're launching, then you can work out what assets you need to create. So be it email headers, Facebook group headers, you know, your Instagram squares, if you're doing reels,
page graphics,
Thing. Go through everything that you want to create and then look at the photos that will help sell that. So if you know that you're going to be batch creating some reels, then you want to make sure that for your cover photo, you've got portrait images. But actually, you probably want to create some portrait images with some negative space above your head so that you can overlay some text on there. If you're going, right, I'm going to have an email marketing day and I'm going to create a whole load of email marketing, write all my emails, then create your headers. And again, maybe have some negative space so that you can put some information on the side, and you can then drop your images into those. So photography will complement your marketing plan. So think about what it is that you want to be telling your audience. Mm-hmm. And then work backwards as to the photos that you need for that. So that then when you go to a photographer, you can say, right, well, I'm launching this, this, and this. These are the platforms that I want to be using for my launch. And that photographer, if they're a brand photographer and therefore understands marketing, will be able to go, right, so I know that you're going to need some wide images, some portrait images, you're going to need some cropped in images. You might need some of your own stock photos. So, you know, your own hands doing something.
Yes.
Close to the,
you know, you working. And then that will be your next 3, 6, 9 months worth of photos, because you've gone in with a plan rather than just, I'm going to turn up at a shoot and have some photos, because that'll then just create you more work as you try to reverse engineer how to use those photos.
Yeah. You brought up a really interesting point there. Some of my favorite photos came, and this is a trend in photographers, came from my photographer taking shots of things I hadn't planned. Like, I had my business card and I had like a little notebook that was the right colors. And she like took this little like picture of like a cup of like had this really cute little latte with latte art on it. And she took these pictures and like my business card and everything. And I actually use those pictures a hell of a lot because they have my logo on them. So it's like a really nice way to show my logo without just like plonking my logo somewhere. So I use it as like out on the top of contracts. I use it as email headers and part of my email signature. Yeah. That's another really good point, is to think about getting your own like kind of stock imagery.
And that's it, like just creating your own, like your face doesn't have to be in all your photos.
Yeah.
Which is such a relief for lots of people who don't like having their photo taken, to be like, actually, you don't have to be looking and engaging at the camera all of the time.
Yeah, you can, there's other ways to do it. Yeah. Also, always a good, one thing I learned is bring friends. So you can, if you work with people, if you can get some shots of you talking to someone, so it can help to have like a friend along who can be your client for the shoot. That also helps too. And thinking about like what kinds of, like if you're, for example, if you're a coach or someone who provides that kind of personalized service, you probably really do want some photos of you talking to someone, because you want to showcase that, look, this is, you know, it's going to complement a lot of the content that you're putting out there.
Yeah. Or if you're working with a photographer who also works with a makeup artist, like my makeup artist has been clients to lots of different people. Like, she is always, the back of her head features in a lot of my photos, because she plays the part of a client for when someone can't bring someone else along. So yeah, if your photographer's got an assistant or a makeup artist, then you can borrow the back of their head, because they're not going to see any more of them. It's because the focus is on you doing the talking to that person. Yeah.
I love that. Well, this has just been super interesting. Plus, I mean, I can't believe I'm walking away with this, like, newfound Canva hack that I didn't know about.
I'll do a little like screen grab and send it to you, because honestly, like I instantly messaged it to like 2 or 3 people being like, guys, this is like, you know, like if you're somebody that like posts motivational quotes or something.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, I use a lot of, we do episode clips. We do like reels, which are clips of our episodes. And one of the reasons I haven't scheduled them on Instagram yet is because I have to sit down and make all the reels covers. Well, if I just design what the cover's going to look like, I can just plug in all the titles, because I actually have a spreadsheet for that. And I could just auto create them. And oh my God.
I was like, because I'm doing a blog post at the moment about how AI can help your business, at your photography business.
Wow.
And not something to be scared of, like it's not going to suddenly replace us as photographers. And then when I came across this, I was like, I've just saved myself so much time. And yeah, I had to do a little bit of tweaking where some of the testimonials were a bit longer and a bit shorter. I was like, but like,
yeah,
I'm able to just click create and then go off and get a drink. And I came back and I had 30 testimonial posts that I can now just dump into Facebook Business Suite or whatever it's called these days and schedule it in.
That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Amanda. This is probably a topic we're going to want to come back to again in a couple months, because I think it is something we could talk about for ages. I'd also love to dive into the diversity and stock images conversation with you some other time. But in the meantime, how can our listeners find you, start following you? Like, where are you online?
Instagram is probably best. I can't promise that I'll show you behind the scenes on my shoots, but I'll try. And it is AKP Branding Stories. And it's the same on Facebook, but to be fair, I'm just replicating what's on Instagram and Facebook. So Instagram is the place that you'll most likely find me.
Great. I will make sure we leave links to find you in the show notes. Thank you everyone for tuning in. Thank you, Amanda, for joining us. And until next week, I hope this has given you something to think about. let me know if you try that Canva hack. And also let me know if you end up booking a branding photographer as a result of this. I'd love to know how that turned out.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Showing Up Solo. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us a review or sharing your thoughts in the comments. These simple gestures help us appease the algorithm gods and continue to bring you great, free education. Ready to navigate the world of marketing with confidence? Take the Marketing Compass Quiz, available at showingupsolo.com, to discover the next phase of your journey. And don't forget to explore our range of courses and coaching programs while you're there. Let's transform your solo venture into a thriving success story together. Until the next episode, keep showing up and making your mark in the world of solopreneurship. See you soon.